punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. It's Monday, time to get back to work. Wait, farmers and ranchers never quit. Anyway, hope you guys had a great weekend. I had a pretty good one. Got to spend some time with a friend of mine from California that's originally from in this area. And anyway, we had a good time. I usually don't do this, but I'm going to today. So Bruce and I went down to Blair, and we ate at the Back Door Steakhouse down there. And I tried a new dish because we had had steaks the night before at Simon's Catch here in Elk City. So we tried something different. We tried their quail. And I'm just going to go out on a big tree limb here and highly recommend that you guys go down to the Back Door Steakhouse there in Blair and try the quail. It was awesome. It's a little messy like eating chicken wings, but it was so good. And it's embedded in rice, and you get to order a couple sides to go with it. And so anyway, just throw out a deal for the Blair Steakhouse. That quail was great. I loved it. And Jordan, our waitress, I highly recommend you ask for Jordan. She did a great job. Real nice young lady, did her job. She was checking on us all the time and did a great deal. So anyway, thank you, Back Door Steakhouse, for the quail. It was great. So there we go. Let's check out some weather here in our western part of Oklahoma and eastern part of the Texas Panhandle. 52 degrees at Slap Out, 53 degrees at the May Ranch, 49 degrees at Lahoma, 57 at Butler, 51 at Cheyenne, the home of the secret weapon, 55 at Hollis, 58 at Mangum, out here in the Panhandle. What do we got here? We got 51 at Lipscomb, 53 at Miami, and 56 at Dozer, and 57 at Odell, down there across the Red River Bridge. Coming up in segment two, I'm going to have Kevin Huddleston on with me. He is the boss at the Kevin Huddleston Cotton Company out of Memphis, Texas. We're going to be talking cotton today, buying cotton, all kinds of other stuff. Anyway, we'll have a good day today talking about cotton, so you guys will have to join up. First, let's see what happened real quick overnight in our ag world. Soybeans futures plunged in overnight trading and improving weather conditions in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of the oil seeds. Rain is expected in northern Brazil, and heat will diminish this week. Showers are forecast to move into northern Brazil this week and for the next 10 to 14 days, according to the Commodity Weather Group. Precipitation also recharged moisture as in parts of Argentina, the forecaster said. Wheat futures were narrowly higher in overnight trading amidst dry weather in the U.S. southern plains, where hard red winter wheat varieties are growing. Much of the southern plains, including southwestern Kansas, the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, have received little or no rain in the past 7 days, according to the National Weather Service. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 9.25 cents to 13.15¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean meal lost $2.40, and it's down to $410.30 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.08 cents to 51.53 cents a pound. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 4.75 cents in Chicago to 607 and a half a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 2.75 cents to $6.49.5 a bushel. Corn futures fell 1.5 cents to 4.83¼ a bushel. Investors raised their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn last week while reducing their bullish bets on beans, according to the data from the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Speculators held a net short 212,000 futures contracts in corn in 7 days that ended on November 28th. That's up from a little over 200,000 contracts a week earlier. Money managers lowered their net long positions or bets on higher prices in soybeans last week to 71,151 future contracts, and that's down from 85,000 the week earlier. Smallest such position since October 31st. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment firms raised their net short positions in hard red winter wheat futures to 49,666 contracts. That's up about a little over 1,000 from a week earlier. Investors also raised their net shorts in soft red winter wheat futures to 124,067 contracts last week. That's up from 117,000 a week earlier. Okay, what's happening with the weather in the Midwest? Not a lot going on here. We got a great week of weather, it looks like, ahead of us here in western Oklahoma and the eastern part of the Texas Panhandle. It's just looks great, and they look like they're, according to my weather information that I get here, I get arguments with this all the time. Looks like we're going to that rain. They kind of backed off on it a little bit Saturday. But according to the Weather Channel app, next week looks like we have a 20 to 30% chance of rain almost every day next week. And that's still a long ways out. High wind warnings are in effect as strong gusts will create extremely dangerous fire conditions in parts of western South Dakota, according to the National Weather Service. Winds will be sustained from 25 to 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 65 miles an hour in the forecast. The high winds may damage roofs, small buildings, signs, the whole nine yards. You've seen those Weather Channel people when they're doing the hurricanes, the signs are flapping real hard. That's probably going to happen in South Dakota today. Dry weather has created dangerous conditions in the areas as grass and other organic matter on the ground can catch fire. Any fires that start have the potential to spread rapidly, showing extreme behavioral characteristics according to the National Weather Service. So there you have it. All right, let's get an update on what the markets are doing right now. December corn 459, down 5. March 484, basically even. And May is 496, down just a fraction of a penny there. Soybeans January 1306, down 18. March 1327, down 17. And then we got soybean meal. Looks like it's down $2.90 for December at 422.40. January's 407.20. And actually it's 407.10 now. Just update it, down $5.60. And March is $399.10, down $5.50. Soybean oil for December, 51.37, unchanged. January's 51.56, up about a tenth of a penny, up 11. March is 51.45, up to about the same amount. Hard red winter wheat up 12 today. It's at December 6.57. March is 6.59, up a little over 12 cents. And May is 6.62, up 11. Cotton, not so good. December cotton is at 78.25, down 0.17. March is 79.16, down 0.26, and May is 79.81, down 0.31. Sugar looking pretty good, but he's still in the red a little bit compared to what he was a couple weeks ago. SugarDaddy.com, your March sugar is at 25.81. It's up 0.72 today, and May is up 0.48. West Texas oil. January 73.76, down 31 cents. February 74.01, down 24. And then we got natural gas, January 266, down 0.14. And February's 262, down 0.14 also. Another, man, these cattle futures are just going backwards. Live cattle for December 167.22, down $2.05. February is 167.52, down $1.60. April is 169.95, down $1.67. Feeder cattle for January 211.10, down $3.32. March is 213.90. It just changed on me. March is 213.82 now, down 340. April's 217.95, down 322. Lean hogs are down a little bit. Looks like 32 cents. December 68.27. February's up 27 cents at 70.37. And then we have April 76.80, up 42 cents. So there we have it. I did have a little fun at the Elk City Sale Barn Friday. Stopped in there to get me a cheeseburger. I had to wear earplugs because the ladies were giving me an earful because me and Brandon and I actually talked about them a couple times. So they was giving me an earful, but they didn't spit on my burger or nothing. It was really good. My cheeseburger was really good. And I went up and got into the crowd, sat down to, who did I sit down by? Oh, I sat down by Mr. Dustin Deal. Anyway, we were talking wheat pasture and what it's renting for and all this stuff. And they had a little bit. They just started on the calves, and they had a little bit of pause between two sets of calves. And I noticed the Cotton King himself sitting down there to the right. And I don't know what he was doing in there, but anyway, Mr. Farm Cotton King from Washita County, Farm 101 down there. So it was a little pause, and there was a lot of orange in the sale barn Friday. A lot of orange being wore, and it was all OSU. There wasn't no burnt orange in there. So I took I thought I'd liven things up, and I yelled out Boomer. And of course, Cotton King, he yelled out Sooner back at us. We had the auctioneer giggling, so laughing so hard, he had to pause a little bit from selling any more calves. But it was fun. It was all in the fun. Don't take it personal, some of you OSU fans. So anyway, it was just having a little fun in there. But anyway, they were some awesome sets of red steers, calves sold through there, heifers and steers sold through there, and they brought a pretty good price too. So anyway, they had a really good sale while I was there from what I can see. So anyway, we're going to take a break here, and when I come back, I'm going to have Mr. Kevin Huddleston on here from K. Huddleston Cotton Company out of Memphis, Texas. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
And ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 17th. 2,145 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 454 brought 290. 8 at 485 brought 284. 11 at 490 brought 270. 3 at 595 brought 247. 4 at 640 brought 214. 5 at 699 brought 216. 5 at 774 brought 227. 9 head of heifers at 321 brought 285. 4 at 390 brought 250. 5 at 494 brought 240. 9 at 633 brought 214.50. 4 at 634 brought 215. 7 at 862 brought 193.50. Butcher cows were 39 to 122. Butcher bulls brought 69 to 127.50. Bred cows were 1,000 to 2,100. Pairs brought 900 to 2,450. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open with their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Now back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour all hour long. A little more on them coming up here in just a little bit. Here's the ag update, weather update for out in Memphis, Texas. I picked them today since that's where our guest is from. Currently it's 57 degrees, humidity is 20%. Dew point 17. The winds are out of the south at 9 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 20 miles an hour. No month-to-date precipitation so far there. No red flag minutes today. Sub-freezing minutes today, 347 minutes. And the 8-inch soil temperature is 43 degrees. Well, on the phone with me right now from Memphis, Texas, is Mr. Kevin Huddleston. Thanks for coming on the show today and welcome.
Thank you, Jimmy. We appreciate y'all having us on. Glad to be able to help you with any of your cotton needs over here.
Oh, yeah. Cotton is, as you well know, is a pretty big crop for western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. And there's the cotton farmers that I know around here, except for the Cotton King that you probably know, he's probably the only vocal one out there. So the rest of them are pretty quiet. So
I know exactly who you're talking about.
So anyway, I was just talking about him because I seen him at the sale barn Friday and it was pretty comical. But anyway, Kevin, you're the big boss for K. Huddleston Cotton Company out of Memphis, Texas. Tell a little bit everybody a little bit what you do.
We're cotton merchants. We've been in the cotton business for 44 years. My mother started as a clerk in 1973 and as a gin clerk there in Estley, Texas, and we kind of grew it into a cotton buying outfit. And we own a little gin over in Donnelly County, a little family-owned gin, and then we have we run a few cows and farm a little bit of ground, farm a little bit of irrigated and a bunch of dry land. We're just, we're just kind of a small company that handles a lot of volume. You know, we concentrate basically on the Texas Panhandle, Southeast Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, across over around in the Altus area, and then up into Kansas is what we are. We buy cotton from area gins, and we buy direct from the farmers through the gins. And we seem to always kind of get along pretty good. You know, we operate off a large volume and small margin, which this year is quite the task because we don't have a lot of volume. As you well know, Jimmy, our yield is off immensely. You know, as we look into this thing and get into the depths of the marketing part of it, you know, from a grade standpoint, our grades have been really good this year. You know, we looked at a lot of that dry land that had a lot of leaf trash in the top. But these gins have done a really good job, especially over in Oklahoma, have done a lot of good jobs, and up in the Texas Panhandle of cleaning this leaf out of this cotton up in northern Texas and in Oklahoma. As we roll on through here, you know, like I said, our grades are, you know, some of them are averaging anywhere from 55 to 58 cents. And then when you look at the yield in our area, the dry land, a lot of it was abandoned, and then some of this dry land is pulling 200 pounds to half a belt of the acre, which is not very good at all. And then when you look in terms of irrigated, you know, that cotton was hurt bad. Even if it had quite a bit of water, it was hurt bad back in August when we had those 105 degree days. Do you remember those days?
I do very well. I had corn growing, so.
Well, you know, we feel like the word abandonment will be factored in. You know, we get this supply demand report. We will have it out Friday morning at about 11 o'clock from the USDA, and we've got all eyes on that from a trader standpoint, you know, trying to see where we're at. But when you look in terms of basis, we're trading the March contract right now, and current tick right now in New York is 79.10, down 32 points. You know, a good piece of cotton, and I'm talking about a 57, 58 cent loaner, it'll bring anywhere from even to a penny above the board, depending on location and staple length. You know, if it's got a 38 average staple length, then that piece of cotton is pretty valuable right now based on what the futures are holding right here. As we look into new crop, that's kind of where it's dicey. You know, new crop December is hovering 77 cents, and, you know, that's right at a break even for guys right now. So kind of growers, I don't know what the sentiment's going to be for next year. We're going to have Mother Nature kick in here a little bit, kind of perk everybody up to where we can see. But along about February, we'll kind of know about how many planted acres, what planting intentions are going to be. And we're hopeful that guys will stay with their rotations. You know, we've got a lot of guys that rotate peanuts and cotton over here. And then there's a lot of milo and cotton rotation over there and wheat. We feel like if they stay with the rotation program, they'll get along all right. We just, the future of this cotton is kind of bleak from near term right now.
Right. There's a, well, you know, this year started out crazy. We were in a drought during the winter, and then all of a sudden here comes cotton planting season, especially out in the Texas Panhandle. We started getting rains. Well, it just rained, and it got to where they couldn't even get it planted. That didn't help matters.
Well, when you look at the rain that we got, especially north of I-40, you know, those guys got hammered up there. And there's a lot of good farmers up there. There's still some good water up there, Jimmy. But north of I-40, you know, their plant date, I think, is May the 20th or 25th, where they have to have that cotton in the ground and up and growing. And a lot of them got out and got after it. And then they had 8 to 9 inches of rain. And you know what happened? That cotton come in, what little cotton come up. The problem we had was the cool weather in the mornings. And that little old cotton just died. And they run into a time frame up there. So they came back with milo. You know, last year, statistically, north of I-40 produced right at 600,000 bales. This year, we're hoping for 80 to 100,000 bales. That's the difference. And if you look at these yield decimations all the way from Amarillo to Corpus Christi, I mean, we're off as a whole. You know, last year, our carryout was 3.4 million bales. This year, we don't think it's going to be 3 million bales. And I think all these will be, this will be factored into the market as we get through December and maybe after the first of the year.
What, as far as there's a lot of people listening to the show that don't 100% understand the cotton and their staples and the loan value and all that stuff going on here. And I know that you could drive around to the cotton gins around here, and they're usually going almost 24/7. This year, looks like they were running banker's hours, and I hate that because, you know, there's the cotton wasn't there. But tell me, I'm learning here too about cotton. Why is it about demand? Why is there so much difference in the price this year compared to last year?
Well, in terms of demand, you know, we had what was called the macro effect. In other words, when you look at demand for a bale of cotton, you've got to look from a global standpoint.
Right.
And when you look from a global standpoint, you got to look at, first of all, your competitive countries that grow cotton. You know, for instance, our biggest competitor and the biggest threat to the cotton world is our Brazilian market. You know, in 2017, tariffs were implemented on China, so China had to start looking elsewhere to buy cotton. When they did, they pointed over here to Brazil, and Brazil's figured out that they can grow a 21-grade, two-leaf, 37 staple and sell that piece of cotton to China. That's kind of got us dampened. We've got Brazil kind of on the ropes, or I shouldn't say on the ropes, where we can kind of stay competitive with them. Is I do believe that our infrastructure on getting cotton from the gin to the warehouse to a point of entry to over across the water to China, our infrastructure from a transport standpoint seems to supersede Brazil quite a bit. And also, Brazil's growing season, they're about to start planting that cotton over there. You know, they've got a lot of corn and beans, and that area where corn and beans is going to be planted is real dry as we speak. But Mother Nature's kind of a funny deal. You know, she has kind of a way of aligning all that stuff. This is anticipated of Brazil making a big crop, but have they made it yet? Nope. They need to learn to understand West Texas and Oklahoma, where we're at over here, about how hard it is to make a cotton crop. Even when we started out so wet this year, so wet, you know, in June, July, we looked really good, and then we just took a whooping in August with the heat. That little cotton didn't have a good root system, and when that heat hit it, it couldn't go down to moisture, and it made a canopy in some areas with some leaves and everything, made a canopy, but it just didn't fruit. The bowls just didn't fill out on it.
Right. Well, yeah, in Brazil, you know, I read these reports every day, and Brazil and Argentina affect our market so much more than people realize because of the corn and of the soybeans. And honestly, until you just said something a minute ago, I didn't even know that they grew cotton, which is not surprising because they're a powerful market in the world trade now.
They are, you know, and, well, I guess... The uncanny part about this is I think we taught them how to kind of grow that cotton over there. But like,
I know.
You know, I don't want to get into that side of it. I feel I've got mixed emotions about that. But when you look at what we were talking about, this we call it demand destruction. This goes back to Chinese. We need China usually replenishes their strategic reserves. What do they like? They like Oklahoma and West Texas UD bales. And we've been able to supply that with them. The problem is most of our Chinese counterparts the mills that are running over there are running anywhere from 60 to 75% capacity. One, their economy's in trouble. It has been. It's not in trouble as much as it is just weak right now. We need them to start back buying this cotton. And the COVID, when China locked their COVID lockdown, you know, they welded doors shut on people. I mean, they didn't let anybody out. So they went from 100 to zero. And now we're just kind of crawling back out of that. So, you know, as they released people out of COVID last year, you know, the economy doesn't bounce back instantaneously like we want it to.
Yeah, and you talk about China. When COVID hit, they put up the walls and, like you said, welded the doors shut, and that country shut down completely. And it hurt a lot of people.
Yes, sir. And I've said this a lot. Like, I spoke at the Amarillo Farm Ranch Show last Wednesday at that cotton conference that StoneX put on. I was very thankful that they sponsored the event. But, you know, China, you know, that COVID lockdown was just coming out of that was just horrible. You got to keep in mind this cotton that we send to China and we get back in caps and shirts that everybody's complaining about, we need that market for the American cotton farmer, period. We need that market. And, you know, the Chinese people over there, a third of their economy, one-third of their economy is the textile business, you know. And if you look at the amount of people, we have 340 million here in the United States. They have 1.5 billion. We need to be able to service that market to be able to sell this cotton, especially whenever these guys can make two and three bales an acre cotton on a good year. You know, when you look back, I mean, you know, I can remember 20 years ago, bale to acre, you were doing really good, and now that doesn't even hardly cut the mustard.
Yeah, our input cost has gone up so much, equipment, seed, hey, let's stop right there, and let me take a OCA break. When we come back, I want to ask you about cottonseed technology, if you don't mind.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The Exploring Energy Show.
The U.S. oil refining industry expects to maintain a competitive advantage exporting fuel to Latin America, even though Brazil has started to import more Russian diesel. According to an official at a top U.S. refining lobby, Latin America accounted for about 35% of U.S. refined product exports last year.
The Exploring Energy Show, weekdays at 8 a.m. on 96.5 KECO.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas, on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale-per-hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your ag weather update for Freedom, Oklahoma. Dew point is 27, humidity is 35, temperatures at 54. The winds are out of the southwest at 19 with wind gusts up to 25. 24-hour rainfall. You guys must have had a heavy fog up there this morning, 0.01. 10-day rain total, 1.38 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 42 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.6, sunset at 5:20, today 60, tonight 32, and tomorrow 58. What a nice week. Well, on the phone with me right now is Mr. Kevin Huddleston from K. Huddleston Cotton Company out of Memphis, Texas. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy.
So right before the break, you said something. You know, you were talking about a half a bale back in the day was good. And I remember that back in the 80s when the stripper baskets were still on top of the tractors and Alice Chandler's was just now coming out with the self-propelled cotton stripper. A half a bale to three quarters was a great crop back then. Nowadays, like you said earlier, it doesn't pay the bills probably. But anyway, cotton technology, cotton seed technology has come so far. And I'm not sure how old you are, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to tell everybody how old you are, but is that what changed the cotton world in the last 20 to 30 years?
You know, I feel like seed varieties and cotton farming techniques, I've talked about this a lot in the past. We feel like that this cotton farming's turned into more of a science. You know, we've got so many chemicals and stuff that we can spray for insects, defoliation, and then you've got seed from Delta Pine, Fiber Max, all these varieties, hundreds of varieties. They kind of fit regions. You know, people take soil samples and take them and send them off and see kind of which seed variety fits their program the best. And, we have faster maturing seed that we plant north of I-40, a shorter top growing season. We've got, dicamba cotton. There's all kinds of avenues to explore there. But the main thing any cotton seed's got to have, Jimmy, we got to have moisture.
Yes.
We got to have timely. You know, you can make a cotton crop on a small amount of rain. You just have to get it at the right time.
Right.
And you know, that's where our timing was off this past year. You know, like I said, we had a lot of rain there at planting time. Everybody got this cotton up and growing. We were pretty excited about it. And when the water faucet turned off, it that 105 degrees and the southwest wind about 25 to 30 miles an hour for 10 days to 2 weeks, it just took a toll on this yield. But talking about your cotton seed varieties, yes, sir, that has come in leaps. But that's one reason that we are making these big yields in years past up until the last two crops.
Well, they, I know, and then cotton growing in Kansas, who would ever dream that? So do you get to buy any cotton from Kansas at all?
Yes, we buy some up there, Wichita area, and then Northwest Cotton Growers, we buy a little bit of cotton up in that area. You know, it's just kind of deal, David. It's just, you know, it's whenever they get this cotton planted, they have to stay ahead of the cold weather. You know, heat units has been a problem in years past on cotton north of I-40. Heat units, cotton likes heat. Well, it got plenty of heat this time, a little bit too much, quite a bit too much.
Yep.
But that's one reason our grades are so good. This cotton, the cotton that had the adequate water from an irrigated standpoint, it's great and excellent. Not just good, it's excellent. I mean, we, you know, very rarely do we see a 58-cent loan value, and we're seeing a lot of that cotton displayed this year from Lone Star Gin over at Planters. I mean, all the gins up in that area are making good, excellent grades. We just need a yield to go along with it. You know, two things that hurt a grower is the main things that are self-destruction is we have a horrible yield and a horrible price, and that's kind of the cards that we've been dealt this time. It's just trying times for these area farmers. We're trying to help out every way we can over here.
Right, and I've talked to some guys that sell their cotton to you, and they brag a lot on you, so you must be on your A game, and that's good. And what's so to get a hold of you, how's the best way to get a hold of you?
Let me just give you a toll-free number here. This is one we've had for the last 30 plus years. It's 800-853-0797. That's 800-853-0797. Or you can drop me an email at hudcottonkevin@gmail.com.
Yeah,
that's HUDDCOTTONKEVIN at Gmail. You know, we understand the struggles of farmers because that's what we do. That's what we do. We farm, we ranch. So we understand these input costs that are killing these guys. We understand that it's what a tractor tire costs. We live and breathe it. And, you know, when we're factoring in bidding on this cotton for these farmers, you know, our hearts are in it. Sometimes that can, most of the time that's a good thing. Sometimes that can be a bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when you look in terms of volatility of this market, you know, we're trading March futures right now at 79 cents. And I do an RFD-TV market update every Thursday on RFD-TV, a 231 dish, every Thursday at 12:15. It's a 120-second interview, and I just kind of let them know what's being traded and kind of what values are if everybody wants to tune in to watch that.
So do you mess with anything? When I say mess with that, do you do any dealings with any sorghums or corn or soybeans or anything like that, or are you strictly cotton?
We're strictly cotton. You know, we raise a little bit of hay and stuff over here. I've got a lot of friends in the grain business, but we're mainly cotton. Like I said, we have a little family-owned gin in Dawling County, you know, that right there in southeast Texas Panhandle. We've had it. We purchased that plant in 2004. And then our marketing company's kind of been there. We're right here on the square in downtown Memphis, population 1,200. We're right here on the south side of the square. We've been here a long time. We have a lot of growers in the area, the Lakeview, Wellington, Childress, Altus, Hollis. We service this area here all the way up through to Spearman, Guyman, all the way back over to Winfield, Kansas. That's kind of our service area. We do have a South Texas office that's Upper Coastal Bend there at Needville, Texas, right south of Houston and Rosenberg, in the Rosenberg area. We've had that office for about 22 years. We have a lady down there that buys cotton for us from that area. So we try to treat these guys the way we want to be treated, and I think that reflects and shows in our price.
Right. Hey, you didn't say nothing about Wichita County. You better say that.
Wichita County. Yeah, I get in trouble geographically because I cover so many many counties. When I leave them out, I get reminded of that pretty much, Jimmy. Yes. We appreciate the business over there. Like I said, those gins are doing a fantastic job, as are the ones in the Texas panel. Everybody, this is a struggle, but we're trying to keep a positive outlook. Like I said, any advice we give anybody, we offer marketing tools starting for next year. We have basis contracts, which we have acre contracts, bale contracts, and on-call contracts. We haven't done any as of yet, but the guys, when they're winding up, get through stripping and harvesting, as we look into possibilities of next year, they can use these as tools to kind of lock in a bid on their cotton for next year deliveries, if that's the route they want to go. Some guys don't do that. Some guys lock in half of it. Some guys will wait until harvest time next year.
All right. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on. And you guys you're listening out there. Every Thursday at 12:15, you give an update on RFD TV, correct?
Yes, it's a 2-minute update, usually with Scott Sheldy on there on RFD TV. If anybody has any questions about the market or wants to call us, they feel free. I've got great staff over here who's been with us a long time. We appreciate any opportunity to get to handle y'all's cotton.
What's that 800 number again?
1-800-853-0797. And then, Jimmy, you've got my cell phone. If anybody calls the station there wanting to visit about grades or bids or anything, then you can give them my cell number, however we need to do that.
Well, we can do that. And then also, since Memphis, I thought Memphis was a little bit bigger than that. So you're probably within walking distance of Kathy Fowler Insurance down there, aren't you?
I'm looking at her building as we're talking. She's catty corner across the street from me.
Well, she's a homegrown girl from here.
She sure is. She's done a lot for these farmers over here, and hats off to Kathy and the Fowler Insurance Agency. She does all of my crop insurance, and hats off to her.
All right. Well, thanks, Kevin, for coming on today, and you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you. All right, well, let's take an OCA break, and when we come back, I got your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Guess what? I got that right today, and we'll talk a little bit about OCA, and I got some other stuff to finish off the show with today. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for, and if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that, but a young couple, You need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup, four different size dumpsters, there's no contracts or hidden fees, and they have affordable rates. Your satisfaction is always top priority at D&G Trash Hauling. For more information, give them a call at 580-497-1234. That's 580-497-1234. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to OCA, Oklahoma Cattlemen Association. Happy hour. Let's see here. I didn't change my date. Let's go with Eric. How about that? Let's go, if I can get it to come up. There we go. Eric, Oklahoma. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden. I almost said it. Ag weather update, 55 degrees. Dew point is 24. Humidity's at 30%. Winds are out of southwest at 9 miles an hour. No 24-hour rainfall so far this in the last 10 days. 0.85 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 44 degrees. 1-day 10-inch fractional water, 0.7. Sunset at 5:27 today. Deer season's over now. You don't have to worry about the half hour. You don't even need to worry about going deer hunting. How about that? 60 degrees for a high today, clear, 33 tonight, sunny, and 61. I know I had a pretty good freeze at the house this morning on the river there. Pretty thick ice on the windshield. So, all right, let's see here. What do we got? Oklahoma Cattlemen Association. Before I read their live read here, I just want to tell you, January 5th at Cattlemen's Congress in Oklahoma City, It's coming up. There have been emails sent out. There's deadlines going on, all kinds of stuff. But January 5th, that's the day that they have the Angus Bull Sale at the Cattlemen's Congress. I'm going to be doing the show live from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association booth there. So I'm excited. I can't wait. I wish it was already January 5th. So we're still a month away. Anyway, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights. They have up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft. In-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connects consumers with Oklahoma Cattlemen Association members that are marketing beef, monthly issues of the Cowman magazine, and weekly email updates and issues videos. For just $100 a year, you can experience all these member benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week or a little over $8 a month to have an association that's working full-time to represent you and protect your way of life. www.okcattlemen.org or call Lori at 580-273-5137. 580-273-5137, and she'll hook you up with a membership. Going well. Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is strong and growing every day. All right, let's see here. Okay, so you guys know I'm a big fan of Machine Repeat. So let's do a little update he put out this morning, or the other day, actually, and I didn't get a chance to do it Friday. The overall supply of tractors, used tractors, finally begin to rise in the second half of this year. This is some of the truths about the used tractor market. Despite rising supply, used tractor prices are still exceedingly strong. The value of the pre-diff, pre-tier 4 tractors in good condition is skyrocketing, according to Peak. Between 2012 and 2016, there was a movement towards pre-diff buyer preferences, but the past few years, it's been more like a growing tidal wave, and that's no joke. Three recent farm auctions in Kentucky, Missouri, and Iowa provide perfect examples. At the end of October, Pete was in Winchester, Kentucky. It was the hottest auction I've ever seen, with 15 new record high sale prices set. The crowd was like pre-internet auction days. A John Deere 4455 two-wheel drive with 3,549 hours on it sold for a record $97,850. Woo! While a 1993 John Deere 4960 with 3,637 hours on it went for $139,360. Just to give you guys an idea of what happened, I bought my 4960 in 2014, had 7,000 hours on it with a front end loader on it, duals, the whole work, front wheel assist, for $37,000. Think about that. A whopping $25,360 over the prior record set nearly 11 years ago. The buyer of the 4455, Tim Knutson from Burlington, Washington, told me, "Machine repeat, I came here to do two things, buy the 4455 and have you sign it." He bought it and I signed it. Pretty cool. While at the auction, he also bought a John Deere 6400 four-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, tractor with 1,500 hours on it, and a Deere 640 loader for $81,885, a record price by an astounding $32,385. Just under 2 weeks later, at the Phil Kelly Farm Estate auction in Harrisonville, Missouri, I think that's the hometown of old Sean here, a 2002 John Deere 7410 with 1,612 hours on it and loader sold for $139,000, breaking the previous record by almost $35,000. The next day, an auction in Orange City, Iowa, saw a 1991 John Deere 4755 two-wheel drive with 5,072 hours on it and one owner sell for $82,000, new high by $11,750. The four highest sale prices ever on this model were all during the past 8 months. It's clear that pre-diff used tractors have become increasingly popular. There's less to go wrong on them. They won't throw a code, and you can ranch on them. They're bulletproof, so to speak, and what's the price for a new one after all? With a question mark. That brings us to the fourth and final truth of the used tractor market. The ever-rising price of new equipment pushes buyers to good condition 10-year-old models. I referred to this magical 10-year-old line in the sand for years, but now those tractors aren't pre-depth. Our auction price data shows that doesn't matter. While the John Deere 4455 and the 4960 record prices were eye-openers, the hottest tractor on the Kentucky sale was a John Deere 6150 two-wheel drive with 763 hours on it with no loader. It sold for $154,000 to that same guy in Washington. And no, he didn't have me sign it. So there you go. Man, just the crazy world we're living in on the farm side with these tractors. But old Machine Repeat, he'll keep us up to date. Anyway, we got, let's see here. Got enough time for this? Yep, I do. All right, we got a couple minutes left here. The markets are telling the 23 story. That is the 2023 story. Be careful what you wish for, something I've been thinking about the past week. As the 11th month of the year just concluded, we have been seeing an interesting cycle in the market. The start of the year began with hope and the new wave of prosperity to come. As prices increased, we saw greed step in. People who haven't owned cattle in years decided to buy some. Now we are seeing fears is the prices pull back, and they have been for the last couple of weeks. Anyone who has been around the business for a minute should know that a healthy market trades up and down. While trending in an upward direction, we have all heard good things like high prices, cure high prices, or the fabulous Gordon Hazard quote, "You can't throw a stone so high that it won't come down." So we all know this is going to happen. When people express emotions of shock, anger, fear, or panic, I guess the timing wasn't convenient for them. One thing I heard this week was really, which really got me. We need to get to the bottom so we can begin to rebuild. Be careful for what you wish for. I remember buying 6-weight feeders in the fall of 2015 for 98 cents, when 6 months earlier, 5-weight steers were bringing $3. Even the rookies remember the ride and don't wish to repeat it. And I remember it, and we don't. So anyway, be careful what you wish for. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. You guys have a great day, and God bless.